This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Tavium Plus Vapor Grip Technology Herbicide from Syngenta, the first dicamba herbicide premix, which offers both contact control to manage the weeds you see and residual control to help protect against the weeds you don't see yet. Tavium Plus Vapor Grip Technology is a restricted use pesticide. And by Simplot Grower Solutions, we're in your fields and by your side. Learn more at SimplotGrowerSolutions.com. All right, corn and soybean growers, say it with me. I'm going to count us down. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Live it up, baby.
Live it up, baby.
Live from USDA Report Day via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Steve Freed from ADM Investor Services. And right after the regularly scheduled news, we'll get perspective from Todd Bubba Horowitz from BubbaTrading.com. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the man that made it all possible, the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Laurie.
All right, Davis. Hey, man, thank you so much. You were curious, curious what limit up was in corn and soybeens, we found out today. Mm-hmm. 25
we
cents
did,
in
actually.
Corn and 70 cents in beans.
Well, and you know what? I think you had a good idea just a little bit ago. Let's get this out of the way. We're just doing them all at once. They all did really, really good. It was a really great day.
Big move.
That's really the big story.
I love the corn conga coming through at the end there.
The trumpets really kicked in there toward the end. Like, hey, come on, guys.
It.
We got to keep up here.
Yeah, love it. Love it. Love it. Surprisingly, live cattle found a way to trade to the upside today, too. Now, feeder cattle were lower.
I saw that.
Yeah,
yes,
feeder cattle were lower. But hogs were mixed. Speaks volumes of how much demand there is for beef and how much demand there is for pork. And just the optimism that has crept into the cattle and the hog markets.
Particularly when you look at what the soybean meal market did today as well. May up 25, July up 24. I mean, we're basically up 25 from May to Dece.
Dude.
In the meal.
I know it. I was watching what's going on or watching what was happening with the meal market and kept yesterday's conversation with Lee Scholes kept creeping back into my thoughts about what to do with the risk management of the inputs. And, you know, we were calling on the old margin manager himself, Mike Walston, to give us some advice in there. Mm-hmm. And it was basically, hey, this market's under $400. Looks pretty good to me. Let's get this thing bought.
Right. Let's get it penciled in and do some math. Yeah.
Yes. That's exactly right. Just manage it that way. Let's get to it. Let's get to some of the details. What do you got?
Well, Chip, USDA's survey of producers' planting intentions generated expectations that all wheat acres will reach 46.358 million acres, with spring wheat plantings of 11.74 million. All wheat acres are about 1.4 million above trade expectations, with spring wheat acres only about 100,000 acres above the average pre-report trade guess. March 1 wheat stocks of 1.314 billion bushels were 42 million bushels above trade expectations, but down 7.1% from year ago. Combined, Chip, the two reports provided little incentive to push wheat prices up, but spillover buying from locked limit trade in enthusiastic corn and soybeans resulted in solid price gains for wheat. July hard red, 17 cents higher, 581 and three quarters. July soft red up 16 cents, 615 and three quarters. September spring wheat, 10 and three quarters higher, 630 and a quarter. Really? Follow through buying gets the credit for all this?
Yeah, spillover support. Right.
Oh, that's it. Okay. Planted acres. I thought I could sip my tea in between there. You caught me. Planted corn acres expected to reach just 91.144 million in 2021. That's up 325,000 from last year, but 2.1 million acres less than the average pre-report trade estimate. March 1 corn stocks in all positions of 7.01 billion bushels were also 66 million bushels below trade expectations. Ethanol production in the week ended March 26, 965,000 barrels per day, up 43,000 barrels from last week, and 125,000 barrels ahead of the same week last year. Ethanol stocks down 695,000 barrels to 21.114 million. May corn futures were 25 cents higher, 564 and a quarter. July corn up the 25 cent limit, 547 and a half. Dease corn closed at 477 and a half, also up the limit on the day, baby.
You're right. And the new crop led it. I mean, it didn't take long for the old crop to get there, but new crop led it. I was surprised to see that with the stocks coming in below trade expectations.
Well, bean stocks in all positions on March 1 came in 30 million bushels above the average trade estimate, but are down 30.6% from a year ago. The big surprise of today's two major USDA reports was in the bean planting intentions. Plantings are expected at just 87.6 million. That's up 4.5 million from last year, but 2.4 million acres below the average pre-report trade estimate. May bean futures 70 cents higher, 14.36 and three quarters. July beans also up the 70 cent limit, 14.27 and three quarters. Novi bean futures closed at 12.56 and one quarter. That one's up 70 cents as well, buddy.
Yeah, so throw them together. You get the 178.7. The trade was betting on 182 plus combined.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we were saying all week, somebody's going to be surprised. I didn't expect everybody to be surprised.
Well, I didn't expect it would be us.
Everybody is surprised by this. Todd Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. Bubba, market didn't see this one
surprised.
Coming.
I wrote it this morning. You got my text. I texted you early in the morning. I said, the report's coming out. That was the headline today.
Yeah.
I wrote about this before it ever happened. Please. You can see that they were way too bearish and that there was going to be a pop. I can't predict the limit, but I certainly could see a pop coming. I wrote it, even though I'm short wheat. I mean, you know, again, I see what happens. But I wrote about it to you. If you didn't read it, shame on you,
no,
big boy.
I read it. I read it. But what I'm saying is the market, you may have anticipated something like this. And we talked about it yesterday, too, that the flush that we got going into this report is kind of coiling the spring for something big to happen. But the market did not anticipate this.
Well, the masses didn't, but the people that don't play the report and don't play the news who watched the price action had it figured pretty good because, of course, they were all set up properly. So, I say this all the time. I don't look at reports. I know what they're going to be. As I wrote this morning, what the report would probably be, they would miss and the markets would rally. They were over-anticipating a bearish move. It did not show, and, of course, it took them up even farther than I thought, but certainly I'm not surprised at a rally.
Gotcha. Okay. So where to from here?
Well, I don't know. It's tenuous. We'll see. I mean, you know, with expanded limits and a holiday coming up, we'll see tomorrow. I would suspect they'll open higher. Whether they can hold, I don't know. I think the meats, though, as you were talking about earlier, I think they look great. And I think they're setting up just like the grains did before they broke out big to the upside. So I think it's going to be a pretty good summer.
Very good. Bubba, thank you so much, brother. We'll talk to you later.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter to you as well.
Bubba!
All right. Davis, can you get the closes in?
Sure thing. I've got cotton here. May cotton 11 points higher, 80.75. Dease cotton up 102, 79.94. On the cattle side, April fat cattle, 120.97. That's steady. April feeders down 295, 143, 87 and a half. Look out for the snouts. April lean hogs 12 and a half higher, 101.05. June hogs down 72 and a half, 105 and 30. Chip.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Davis. And thanks to Bubba. We've got Steve Fried, ADMIS, coming up next, right here on AgriTalk. If soybean growers want to protect against herbicide resistance and preserve the genetic yield potential of their crops, they must aggressively manage tough weeds throughout the entire growing season. Today, I'm joined by Bobby Bachman, herbicide product lead with Syngenta. Bobby, why is it so important for growers to use an overlapping two-pass herbicide program?
A robust season-long herbicide program helps growers reduce the weed seed bank and manages weeds before they become a problem. We recommend a herbicide program to include products with multiple effective sites of action. This is key for managing herbicide resistance and controlling tough weeds. Applying products that deliver at least two effective sites of action takes pressure off of the individual active ingredient, allowing growers to not only have clean fields and maximize yield potential, but it also protects and preserves herbicide technologies for the future.
Yes, excellent, Bobby. So what program would you recommend to growers who want to keep their soybean fields clean throughout the season?
Regardless of trait platform, start with a pre-emergent herbicide program delivering early season weed management, utilizing products such as Boundary, Broadax, or Prefix herbicides from Syngenta. In dicamba-tolerant soybeans, apply Tavium plus Vapor Grip technology herbicide early post-emergent. This approach will overlap your residual applications while maximizing weed control and help the crop reach its full yield potential.
That's outstanding. Thank you, Bobby. That was Bobby Bachman, herbicide product lead with Syngenta, explaining the benefits of applying Tavium as part of a strong two-pass herbicide program of overlapping residuals. Don't let time run out on your herbicide management plan. Visit SyngentaUS.com/Tavium or speak with your Syngenta retailer to learn more. And remember to always read and follow label instructions. Tavium plus Vapor Grip technology is a restricted use pesticide. Vapor Grip is used under license from Monsanto Technology, LLC.
Never miss a story. Text NEWS to 31313 to have today's top stories delivered to your phone.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Glad that you could join us today.
Can I paint a quick picture here?
Sure.
It's report day.
Yeah.
We just talked about how the markets did. So at the end of this morning's show, I was looking at my quote screen. It was just moments away. In fact, it was 11:56. Chip, you remember this?
Yep.
And I said, oh, look here. We got beans up a little bit. Oh, it looks like corn, about 2 cents on either side of unchanged. 11:08. Central time, I get a text from you. Just let's see if it's, I don't know, what's that, 11 minutes later?
Yeah.
11 minutes later. Yeah. Corn is limit up. Beans up 60.
Yeah.
What an explosive, immediate reaction to these reports.
It didn't take 11 minutes for corn to do it. That's for sure.
No.
It was an immediate reaction there. Real quick on the cotton. The cotton planted acres are expected at 12.036 million. That's down 57,000 from last year. Traders were looking for 11.905, so it came in above trade expectations. Okay. Let's get some perspective. Steve Freed, ADM Investor Services, joins us right now. Steve, thank you so much for making time for us on a busy day. How are you doing?
Great. Did something interesting happen?
Did you notice? So here's the thing. Going into today, it was my expectations. I think it was a lot of analysts shared the expectation that the headline from the reports would come from the grain stocks data. And instead, here comes the prospective planning report, sweeps in, grabs the spotlight. And the attitude was, okay, we know corn and soybeans are going to be planted acres are going to be up from a year ago. We just didn't know by how much. Well, corn was only up like 325,000 acres from a year ago, Steve. Everybody's looking at the bean acre coming in so low, but to me, that corn planted acreage, that's really telling.
Yeah, and I think that going into the report, we'd seen quite a bit of long liquidation looking for a bearish report. And, you know, people were talking about, hey, last March, farmers intended to plant 97 million corn acres. Maybe that's the same this year. And then, you know, there's been 300 to 600 million bushels of corn hovering back and forth on reports for corn stocks. And in December, we lost 600 million bushels, and we thought, well, we'll find that back because they don't count corn in transit. And then, you know, what if the bean stocks were 50 million bushels higher, and we were not going to be as tight. So, you know, we erased much of the rally before the report. Now, you know, maybe they didn't count the 9 million prevent plant acres. Maybe farmers don't know what they want to do with that acreage yet. And maybe they didn't count all the double crop bean acres. So, you know, down the road, I think that acres probably will be higher than this. But, you know, I think the market feels that we need to rally prices to make sure that farmers plant those additional acres. Because, you know, if I sit down and look at 21, 22 bean acres, mm-hmm. I plug in a trend yield and I plug in my demand number, I have a negative carryout for 21, 22 beans. And it ranges anywhere from 70 million bushels to a negative 200 million bushels, depending upon, you know, what kind of yield we have and what kind of demand we're going to get from China and how much competition, you know, we'll get from South America with their crops, you know, maybe smaller than what the USDA is saying. So I think the shocker to me, first right out of the bat, was the bean acres and what that means to the 21-22 campaign. We'd also seen a pretty steep liquidation of soybean oil. And yesterday, we actually saw open interest in soybean oil going up. So it could have been some consumer bottom picking. But now, you know, the question shifts from, do I buy this now as an end user? Do I sell this now as a farmer? And then we got to remember that weather is still a big unknown this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. On the prevent plant acres from a year ago, whether or not producers know what they're going to do with them, you look at the Dakotas, North Dakota up 1.35 million acres on corn plantings. Soybeans, it was a big increase there, up 1.25 million. The percentage increases are off the charts. It's like almost 70% increase in corn acres in North Dakota. So it feels to me like some of those prevent plant acres are accounted for in here, aren't they?
You know, they could be. Again, since 2005, we've seen this report both limit up and limit down. I mean, that's from an acreage standpoint, it's very important. So, you know, if we plant 91 million corn acres, I guess, you know, that's okay. It's just planting only 87 million bean acres is just too low.
Yeah.
And, you know, on our farm, you know, last year, you know, we planted corn. And this year we're, you know, normal rotation, we'll plant beans. But, you know, the question mark is we thought that the farmer would increase acres because probably not as much COVID payments this year as last year. And so net farm income was going to be down. So, I mean, you know, to say this was a shocker is kind of an understatement. And that's how the market reacted.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. When we talked earlier, actually it was late last year, we talked about the potential for bean acres. We talked about the number that the bean market could handle and digest and move forward with. And we were both thinking at that time, 92, something like that, maybe that was a possibility. So can the market do anything at this point, Steve, to, and I agree with you that 178.7 million combined corn and soybean acres is too low. I feel like it's going to go higher into June. But is now when the battle starts between corn and soybeans?
Well, I think, you know, I think today, you know, was the first day in which we started that process. And I really don't know, you know, the farmer next week will be in the fields.
Yeah.
And so his focus and his interest is going to be on that. And we've kind of documented that he's pretty much sold out of his beans and doesn't have a lot of corn left to sell. So, you know, the ownership should be in the commercial hands. And so, You know, we start looking at, from a weather standpoint, our guy is singling out 1988 as a year that 2021 could be like. And so we get everything planted. Everything's fine. The next 10 days, we start drying out a few spots. But then, you know, he says that there's a chance that a southeast ridge and a northern plains ridge will kind of merge together in August, and it'll be a dry August, which means we'll have a good corn crop, but you know, there may be concern about beans. So I think everybody agreed that, you know, after this report, focus was going to be on weather. And so I think that the first thing is we get the crops planted, and the second thing is, you know, what's the summer weather going to do? And I think, to me, that's more important than hashing over the numbers.
Okay. Fair enough. I do like the fact that if you take these planted acreage numbers forward, like you said, and I don't think you're alone in working this number into a negative carryover on the 2021-22 bean balance sheet, but corn isn't burdensome out of this, is it?
Well, I guess it depends on where you start. I mean, okay. I think that most of the people believe that this 2021 corn carry is 1,200, not 1,500.
Right.
So if I carry that in and I got a 14.5 crop and a 15.1 demand, I still have a 1,200 carryout. Yeah. And that's with a 180 yield. And so it's still tight. And when you talk about some of the numbers for 2021, probably the feed and residual number, even though historically they might take it down. But I think it'll be higher than what the USDA is saying. And then once people get vaccinated, I think the ethanol is going to be higher. You know, you saw today's ethanol production a little bit higher than what the trade thought, but definitely the stocks were much lower than what people thought.
Right.
And so I think that we also believe that exports are going to be higher. So, okay. You know, there was talk about a lower Brazil crop, increased Argentina corn to Brazil, and less Argentina corn for export to other nations.
Right. Right. Okay. We're going to continue the conversation. We're going to talk about the implied disappearance or use in the second quarter of the marketing year for corn and soybeans. We get those numbers from the stocks report. We're talking to Steve Free from ADMIS.
American-based and family-run, Simplot Grower Solutions knows what it takes to keep a farm and your way of life productive and thriving. It takes field-proven insights backed by trusted technologies and products that help you get the most out of every acre. It takes a local ag expert you can grow with, a down-to-earth partner focused on your success. Head to SimplotGrowerSolutions.com and take the next step with us. Simplot Grower Solutions, in your fields, by your side.
It's time for headline news featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers First Thing Today. ANEC pairs Brazilian soybean export forecast for March, but says they could still hit a record. The Australian Weather Bureau says La Nina has ended. Ukraine's export prices for wheat and corn slide to the downside. Pakistan lifts a ban on Indian sugar and cotton. The Chinese Purchasing Managers Index hits a three-month high. Consumer confidence surges more than expected in March. Much more than expected in March. That gets back to a comment from Steve here just a moment ago. Another bottleneck in the supply chain remains. This one is in Southern California. Germany to ban AstraZeneca's vaccine for those under 60. Check out tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
We got some spillover support for wheat, too. Over.
Good work. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. We're talking with Steve Freed from ADMIS. Before we get back to that, let's go ahead and recap how the markets closed.
Chip, July hard red winter wheat, 17 cents higher on the day, 581 and three quarters. July soft red jumped 16 cents, 615 and three quarters. May corn futures, 25 cents higher, 564 and a quarter. These corn close at 477 and a half, up 25 cents. That's limit up on both. May soybean futures, 70 cents higher, 1436 and three quarters. November bean futures close at 1256 and a quarter, up 70 cents. That's limit up on both. December cotton jumped 102 points, 79.94. Livestock, June cattle up 67 and one half, 122.90. April feeders down 295, 143.87 and a half. June hogs down 72 and one half to 105.30.
That's a quick market recap. Back to you now, Over.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Steve Fried, ADM Investor Services, is with us today. Steve, you mentioned the ethanol number for the year ahead. Ethanol production in the weekend of March 26 averaged 965,000 barrels per day, up 43,000 barrels from last week, 125,000 barrels per day ahead of the same week last year, because the same week last year is when ethanol production fell off a cliff. Ethanol stocks down 695,000 barrels to 21.114 million. And I don't know the exact comparison to a year ago, but I do know that it's way under the year ago stocks number. What happened with that big decline in the ethanol stocks? Did we load some boats for export?
You know, I think that that certainly is one option. You know, we do know that China wants to buy ethanol, and there's other countries too, and we're watching global sugar ethanol production and seeing if we can't garner some from that. But you know, I just think that down the road people are looking for possibly increase in demand, and that's something that I think will be helpful.
Are you in that camp? I am. I'm in that camp. I think that we are going to see liquid fuel use increase more than what many think.
You know, I think so. I mean, I think that once people are vaccinated, they're going to want to, you know, break out and try to get back to something normal, which means traveling and things like that. And I think that slowly more and more people will be heading back to the office from working remotely, and that will add too. You know, we have to watch some of Washington politics, though, because talking about more spending, higher taxes, even maybe a tax on the miles we drive. And so we kind of have to watch that pretty closely. But I think in general, people, you know, are optimistic not only on fuel, but also food demand once people get vaccinated.
Right, right. Okay. The implied usage numbers from the quarterly grain stocks report for corn in the second quarter of the 2020-21 marketing year, 3.59 billion bushels, up 6.2% from a year ago. Do we learn anything from that?
I don't really think so, because in corn, and the same thing in
well, Steve, something happened with your audio here. Let's give it just a little bit of a break and see if it kicks back in for us. So like I said, implied usage up 6.2 from a year ago. Did we learn anything?
Is that better?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, in corn, it's tough because you start with the supply. You subtract what we know as ethanol use, what we know as export use, and then we have ending stocks. And then what's left is feed and residual. And there is just no relationship between what we actually feed and what we consider feed and residual. The bigger the crop, the bigger the residual. The smaller the crop, the smaller the residual. So I don't know if we can imply anything from that. It's just that the big thing is the market was worried about them finding the 600 million bushels of corn that they lost in December. So we're still carrying that through, which I think means that the demand is going to be bigger than the supply. When we look at wheat, it's such a strange quarter because they actually have a negative feed and residual for wheat this quarter, which means that it's just a quirk that the USDA can't explain. So I don't really read anything into the wheat at all, except that, you know, we're looking at possibility of feeding maybe 120, 130 million bushels of hard wheat versus the USDA's government estimate of 35. And that could be globally, especially when the Chinese sell 23 million tons out of their reserve for feed. So yeah. I think all those things are kind of working along. I think, again, to me, if I'm a producer or an end user, I'm looking now at the weather, and I'm going to plant my corn crop, and then I got to hold my breath.
Okay. I do want to ask about the implied disappearance in the soybeans, 1.38 billion bushels, up 39% from the same period last year. Chinese trade is front and center on that one, right?
Well, it's record crush, and I don't think we're going to back away. I think the commercial, since the export program is pretty much done, I think the commercial crusher is going to try to get a hold of every bushel he can at these margins and crush as much as he can. And that may have been one reason why, the oil market broke, because of maybe building oil stocks. But I think that we also had just a tremendous amount of beans that we exported in that quarter. So I think that down the road, we probably, we already have export commitment on the books to equal the USDA's export number. So we probably won't do much more to the end of the market year, but we're going to crush a lot of beans.
Yeah. Okay. Let's preview the April supply and demand report. Obviously, the focus is still on old crop. You've mentioned exports a couple of times. Do we see much movement here?
Well, I guess it depends on, how the USDA wants to handle it. They've been punting the last two reports, either waiting for South American weather or China news, or they just didn't want to quote a soybean carryout below pipeline needs. Right. But most people are using a bean carryout of a billion. They're using a corn carryout of 1,100 versus a bean carryout of 100 million bushels and a corn carryout 1,100 versus the government's 1,502. And then if we go ahead and plug in these acres, trend yields and things like that, I come up with 25 bean carryout for 21-22, which they won't do until May. And a corn carryout of basically 1,200. And so I think that's what the market has to deal with. This is not a six-month thing. This is a year-and-a-half thing. And if we don't get the weather, then 2022 is just as tight as 2021 is going to be.
Right. Okay. Let's say we don't get the weather, that we've got trend line yields. The last time we talked, you kind of indicated that a 5 and 15 market, $5 corn, $15 beans, was in the cards. Is that something that we should be thinking about?
I think before the report, there was talk about, maybe we trade new crop beans below $10 and maybe we trade new crop corn below $4. But now I think that we have to readjust that. But I think nearby, the bulls are talking about $6 plus corn, whether it's the May or July, and then, $15 beans. There's one group out there that feels that, one commercial group out there that feels that we even could go higher than that in the beans, just because the carryout could be below 100 million bushels. And then, but I think that when you look at these numbers, the most bullish number that came out has to do with November 21 beans. And so, the question mark is, what does the market have to do? Does it have to ration demand or does it have to buy acres?
Mm-hmm. Okay. If these acreage numbers are right, Steve, this would buy us another year. This would add a year onto the timeline of, I'm not saying continuously high prices, but I'm saying that it would add a year to the opportunity to lock in some profits at least once during a marketing year.
Yeah, I think from a marketing standpoint, for 21-22, you're going to have to give it a little time and just see, number one, how far does this rally go? And then number two, what's the weather going to be, because you don't want to oversell, especially your beans, if we don't have the proper weather. The other thing is that you need to sit down and say, okay, you know, what is my break even? What do I have to sell at? And, you know, scale up from that price if we get that price. Because, you know, my weather guy thinks he's hoped long-term weather is 50% right about 30% of the time. And so yeah. if we start July 1st and come in after that weekend and it's not dry and there's rain in the forecast, we're going to go south real quick. So,
yeah.
Again, we have to be smart marketers, but it does suggest that we have another year of good prices for farmers.
Yep. Steve, I feel like we just got a good look at the forest. It's a lot of moving parts to what is happening in these markets going forward, but your big picture perspective, so valuable. Thank you, man.
Okay, be safe.
You bet. That's Steve Fried. He's in charge of the research and analysis there at ADM Investor Services. When we come back, Davis and I are going to try to pull some of the highlights of that conversation, and we'll add some perspective, add a few more details from the reports, too. That's coming up next.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Okay, welcome back.
Okay.
Let's get into some of the... See, I didn't feel the need to get into some of these really nitpicky details of the report, the acreage report in particular, before we talked to Steve, because I knew that he was going to stay very big picture, very forward-focused. Everything is what's next, not what has happened, what's next when we're talking with Steve. So
Steve brings us the forest, and so you're telling me you got a pocket full of saplings for us.
I've got a few trees I would like to share with everybody.
Very good. Proceed, sir.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Total acres planted to principal crops in 2021, expected to total 316.2 million, which would be up 6 million from last year. It'd be the highest since 2018. But that is 3.2 million acres less than was indicated by the Pro Farmer survey. 3.2 million. So if you take the 6 million, add on the 3.2 million that was a mix, that would have been a 9.2 million acre increase, which would have gotten back all but about a million of last year's prevent plant acres. Okay? So that was all right there. That was, I mean, I was so with that analysis that it really felt good, which makes me wonder what the heck happened to the acres. I mentioned this number earlier, 178.7 million is the combined corn and soybean tally, up 4.8 million from last year, and 4.5 of the 4.8 is soybeans. Corn planting's up only 325,000. That's steady. That's like no change on corn acres. I say that, but North Dakota up 1.35 million to 3.3 million. South Dakota up 1.65 million to 5.6 million. Wisconsin up 150,000 to 4.15. Corn acres compared to a year ago, unchanged in Minnesota. And then we've got acres down in Illinois, 400,000. Indiana, 200,000. Iowa, 400,000. Kansas, 300,000. Michigan, 100,000. Missouri, 50,000. Nebraska, down 300,000. Ohio, down 150,000. Corn Belt acres down.
Yep.
Iowa doesn't surprise me. As a matter of fact, Iowa being down, you know, just 400,000 from a year ago might be a little surprising because of the widespread damage that we had to the corn crop last year. So, yeah, interesting. Now, on soybean acres, we've got Arkansas up 180,000. We've got Illinois up 400,000. Indiana up 100,000. Iowa up 400,000. Michigan up 50,000. Minnesota up 400,000. Nebraska 300,000 increase. Here we go. North Dakota up 1.25 million. Ohio up 100,000. South Dakota up 750,000. Wisconsin up 250,000. On the decliners, we've got Kansas down 50,000 and Missouri up down 50,000. That's it. So it's the movement is there that everyone was expecting. It's just that there wasn't as much movement as everyone expected. It's crazy numbers. Crazy numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I jump back to the conversation with Steve really quick?
Absolutely.
Talking about how maybe, here, and I wrote it down too, maybe farmers don't know what to do with last year's prevent plant acres yet. Yeah. And I will admit, I know when planters are about to roll here because I start to see pickup trucks and flatbeds rolling out with seed loaded up on them. And I haven't seen that yet here in my backyard.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's March 31. They know what they're going to do with those acres, don't they?
Yeah, Ken McCauley on the Farmer Forum this morning said that there's some beans going in the ground in northeast Kansas.
Okay.
For the most part, I would say that that is right. But because the total number of acres planted to principal crops is below what it should be, you know, quote unquote, should be, maybe there was some indecision out there.
In a high-price environment, I guess that would make sense, yeah.
Well, and in the environment that we're in with inputs now,
it seems pretty
easy to pencil in beans.
All right, I'm going to check the plausible box on that one, sure.
Okay. Okay.
Do you want to talk more, or do you want to hit marketing quick? What do we need to do anything here? Do we lock this in?
You know,
I mean, it's coming up. We're limited up before a holiday weekend.
When I was doing advice, when I was doing advice for Pro Farmer, it was always so tempting when we got a limit move to the upside. You know, when it was limit down, you go, they overdid that.
Sure, that's an easy
one. But
when
you get that limit up move, it's awfully tempting. It's awfully tempting. But I'm going to stick with what I've been saying all along, dude. If you do anything, maintain flexibility. I would look at it this way. What you did today is you cheapened up some puts at a price level that will work for most producers.
There you go.
So if you're concerned, take a look at it. What else did you have?
Steve did stress break even. I love that he said, figure out your break even and scale up sales from there. That's good advice. I don't care what the price is.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. His weather guy, talking about 1988.
Yeah.
A 1988-style drought does not come along very often. Okay, fellas? Does not happen very often. I mean, we basically went from 88 to 2012. That was the span that we had. So maybe it's time for another one. We had 1983, 1988. You've got to throw a 2005 in there. Because of what it did to Illinois. And there's some other regionals that popped up, but 1988 is a widespread one. So weather matters, huh? Who are we talking to tomorrow? Oh, Ed Valley, Empire Weather, is going to be our guest tomorrow afternoon.
Excellent.
Looking forward to that. Tomorrow morning, why don't we dig into these numbers a little deeper? Lance Honig from NASS. Thanks to Tavium plus Vapor Grip Technology Herbicide for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your Syngenta retailer to learn how Tavium can help protect against tough and resistant weeds for 3 weeks longer than dicamba alone. And remember to always read and follow label instructions. Tavium plus Vapor Grip Technology is a restricted use pesticide.